This is episode 200 on March 9th, 2017.
Set your photo apps down, iPhone photographers. It's time for Tiny Shutter Podcast.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Tiny Shutter Podcast, where we talk about iPhone photography and other things. I'm Joseph Ferreira.
And I'm Matt Hoffman.
Episode 200. Can you believe that?
Yeah, I can believe it. It feels like it's been a million years that we've been doing this.
Yeah. Million years? How many years?
Well, it's been five.
Woohoo! 5 years. Now, I haven't been here for all 5 years. I've been here, but not in the current role. But Matt has been here for all 5 years. Congratulations, Matt.
Thank you.
Yeah, I came on, I believe it was episode 43-ish, something like that. And they didn't kick me out, so it's awesome.
Yeah, it was on, it was actually on this day, March 9th, 2012, Mark Sadowski had posted basically a link to our podcast in iTunes on Facebook.
Wow.
And it was him just saying that he started a new show with his friends Keith Tharp and Matt Hoffman. It's called Tiny Shutter Podcast. It's all about photography with your iPhone. Give it a listen.
Yeah.
So actually... Yeah. What's that?
I was going to say, give it a listen now. Actually, it is... I think the early episodes were pretty good. Kind of fast-paced, but, you know, they're probably good. I wonder what kind of content you dive into now.
Yeah, I don't remember. I remember seeing, you know, how on Facebook they do that memories. I don't know if you ever go on Facebook, but they do like a, you could see memories from like this, on this day.
And yeah,
it'll be like, you know, a year ago you posted this or whatever, and you could go back and see. And I know it was just like a few days ago or whatever was a memory where I think I had just like posted to my Facebook feed that I just got done or I was just about to record the first episode of Tiny Shutter.
Oh, wow.
So, that's kind of fun.
Yeah. So 200 episodes, things have changed over the last 5 years.
Barely.
More, I would say the early episodes were, there was a heavy emphasis on new apps and things that you could do with your iPhone. And it has slowly evolved over the years because there hasn't been a whole lot of innovation because I think, I don't want to say we've hit a plateau, but the innovation has slowed down and has become more refining than changing. Apps, we get new apps all the time, but back then, there was a lot of groundbreaking apps. Snapseed was huge. We paid $4.99 for that app, and it was a great app. It's free. We hadn't got into the too much of the image capturing apps yet. I think Camera Plus was one of the earliest ones that was really good.
Yeah. Camera Plus has been around for a long time now.
Yeah.
And yeah, that was one of the best, camera apps for, that wasn't the native camera.
Yeah. And
it's still really good.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And, you know, there was a lot of things changing. The iPhone, I think, the iPhone 4 was the current model when this episode, when this show took off. and they were starting to get into the 4S models and the 5. Because, Keith would go wait in line, and then Mark would, go afterwards and try to find a store that had one. And I was always on the, yes, I'm like 2.5 versions back, but it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun to listen to and to learn. We were pushing the boundaries of what these little phones could do. And, who knew that there'd be a podcast that not only would last about 5 years, is still going, but, that revolves around the iPhone or, smartphone photography. And I have to say, I'm excited to be a part of this.
Well, I'll tell you what, we are definitely glad to have you. It's been, pretty much awesome having you on the show.
I appreciate that. So, it's a new week. How have you been, man? What you been up to?
Well, not as much as I would like, I suppose. I did do some photography, but it wasn't really like photography. It was more like just like snapshots. Like, for instance, over the weekend, my wife asked me, did I want to go to the Cleveland Auto Show?
Oh, darn.
And she suggested that we drop our son off at her parents' house so we could go to the auto show. Now, I'm certainly not going to say no to that.
Yes.
So we went to the auto show, and I spent quite a bit of time taking pictures of cool cars and texting them to you.
Yeah, I know. What was I doing? I was doing something, but I would get a text, and it'd be like, dude, look at this. I'm like, what? That's insane. And so last episode, we after the show, we were talking. Talking with each other and then with the guys in the chat. And I had mentioned a YouTube channel that I had watched on a particular – there was like a 3-episode
Overlanding.
Overlanding. And you texted me a picture of this. I think it was a 4Runner with the Overland Expedition wrap. And I'm like, dude, those are the guys. And you're like, yeah. were any of them there, or was it just the car?
I think it was just the car.
Oh, man.
Yeah, if anyone's interested, the channel's called Expedition Overland, and it's a 3-part series called Return to the Mackenzie, which is like a trail in British Columbia, and it was well worth my time to watch. Very cool.
Yeah, I've watched it twice, and I have to say, it is a video that is inspiring, because these guys have to overcome obstacles. They have to overcome their thoughts. They have to overcome a lot of things in order to complete a challenge that they put themselves towards. And this wasn't their first go around with that trail. The first time they did it, they didn't make it the whole way. But you'll have to watch and see what happens if you're interested. And I'll have a link in the show notes if you want to see it, because there's a lot of good photography in there too.
They utilize quite a bunch of different cameras and yep. camera angles, and it gets pretty creative, and it was actually really impressive how well it's done. It's just this small group of guys, but it's a pretty professionally shot series. It's really cool.
Yeah, the they employ everything from GoPros to I think they're using DSLRs for a lot of their principal photography, but then they had a lot of drone footage.
They did. They did, and that was so cool.
Oh, the landscape, just what they were doing. You felt like you were there. It was such a well done production. And the story. You know, a lot of times you can have a lot of good footage, you can have a lot of good photography, but if there's no story, it really doesn't do anything. But when you marry the two together, you have an awesome. A really awesome show or, you know, movie. And so I highly recommend you guys watch it, even if you're not into the outdoors or overlanding. What overlanding is taking vehicles and modifying them to be able to go off-road and be able to carry all your equipment with you and to survive, you know, off of the well-traveled road.
Yes. It'll make you want to go out and do that with your own vehicle, which is probably not recommended, but
I'm eyeballing my wife's Sequoia.
that was actually one of the things I did this past weekend was watch that. And, other than that, the only other thing that I really did was, I always look at our iPhonography Tiny Shutter group on Facebook, and Dave Podner, a couple days ago, I think it was on Monday, had posted a link. It was a 9 to 5 Mac article. It was talking about updates to Adobe Lightroom Well, it's basically Adobe Lightroom Mobile. And this app's kind of been on my radar for like a little while, but like I don't use Photoshop or Lightroom like on my desktop computer. So I haven't really bothered to check out the mobile version. But this newest update, it has the capability of shooting what they call authentic HDR. So it's basically it can shoot like three, exposures to blend together in RAW.
Oh, wow.
Which is totally epic. Wow. And then also you can export RAW files, and it's got a widget, so you can have that on that little, I forget what they call that screen, kind of like the, it's not the notification screen, but the screen that it's got all your little launchers and stuff like that. So there's a widget, and then let me check. I think that it also supports 3D touch. It does. So it gives you like a bunch of options, like share to Lightroom, take photo, take selfie, edit last photo.
Yeah.
So it's pretty cool. So I've been playing with the HDR function because, I just think the ability to do HDRs in RAW is super cool. And I gotta tell you, I really, really, really like it. Like it's the results that it produces are just very natural. Wow. There's like they're just supernatural. Like nothing about them looks like grungy or like that, weird kind of HDR look.
Right.
So it literally makes, what up until now has been my favorite HDR app, Vivid HDR.
Yeah.
It makes that look like totally over the top.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'm going to have to check that out.
So yeah, these HDRs are pretty nice. I've been playing with that. I haven't taken any pictures that I feel like I need to share with anyone yet, right. But I will. Give me a couple of days here.
It is the notification area, and it is a widget. So
yeah.
You can, so if you open up your or turn on your iPhone, even from the lock screen, or if you get through the lock screen, just take your finger from the top and run it down to the bottom. And what it does is it'll bring you to a search option along with notifications and other types of widgets. And you can actually add some of your apps to this page by going all the way down to the bottom where it says edit. And you can import apps in there. So it gives you sort of a quick access to some of your apps on your phone. And you can get rid of some stuff and add some stuff, but you can customize it to however you want. So check it out, and you could probably streamline some of your apps on there.
Yeah, I actually use that screen a lot.
Yeah, I get a lot of news and information, weather. I have Camera Plus on there and a few others, but I don't utilize it probably near as much as I need to. But I'll probably have to play around with it some more.
Right on.
Very cool.
All right. Well, yeah, that's all I've been up to. What about you?
Let's see here. I've been busy. I did video my daughter dancing at church on Sunday. So, and I actually haven't taken it off my phone and put it up on YouTube yet, which I need to do. It's nice because I think the last time she danced, I used both my iPhone and my DSLR, and the DSLR is great, but I actually felt like it was overkill for what I was doing. So this last Sunday, I didn't bring it with me, and I just used my phone, and it turned out great. I was able to make my adjustments and look like everybody else in the audience, you know, instead of holding a DSLR camera. But yeah, I love the fact that I have the 256 gig memory storage, because I don't have to worry about it filling up, or I don't have to take things off in order to do a video like I did before. So that is really nice. And I think I'm pretty much spoiled. I'll never go back to anything smaller, but, that's pretty much all I did. But, I'll have some time off this weekend to be able to, do some stuff that we're going to talk about today, because I'm excited about getting into our topic. So is there anything else you want to bring up before we did that?
Nope. No, let's go ahead and dive into it.
All right, here we go.
Focus point.
All right. We are still on this kick of going back to basics. The basics of photography, you know, what we learned and what we think is really important when it comes to photography. You know, we took classes. Matt took more classes than I did, but we want to be able to bring things to you that you'll be able to, you know, not only think about, but use when you're taking photos and, you know, going through this photographic journey. And so today's topic is printing. We've talked about printing before on the show, but, you know, it's nice to go back and revisit, especially with when things kind of change. But, you know, for the most part, printing is what photography was all about. And with this new digital age, we've kind of moved away from printing. Everything is now in the cloud. It's on Facebook. It's on Instagram. Those are really the mediums that have taken off with photography. But before we had digital, photography wasn't photography unless there was a print involved. There was no display on your phone. You know, there was no You know, you would get it sometimes on a computer. You'd have to actually scan a photograph. But, you know, the industry was printing. And, you know, whether it was you drop it off at the 1 hour photo place or you actually took it to a professional printer, it was, you know, purely left to what you wanted. And even to the point where you can actually do it in your own home. You would set up a lab. It would be, you know, most people did black and white if they did it in their home. Color was very complicated and volatile. But black and white was easy. And I say easy, meaning it was easier than doing color. But it, once you got a, you know, your setup, you can actually print a lot of your images and do it from the ease of your own home. So we wanted to be able to talk about printing. We're going to talk a little bit of what we do and what is out there and be able to, you know, push you in a direction where photography used to be. So I thought we would go ahead and start off by letting people know what we do to print and how we kind of do it. So, Matt, do you want to go first or do you want me to go first with that?
No, go ahead, Joe.
Okay. So my wife the other day said, we need to update the pictures on our wall. And when she says we, she means me. And and I said, you're right. I have some photos up there that are a few years old that need to be updated because now we have more children. I think I have, I think 90% of the photos are of my oldest two, and there happens to be one of my middle daughter and none of my youngest daughter. Don't worry, she doesn't have a complex yet. but I said, you know what? With this topic coming up, I said, I know what I am doing this weekend. And I printed these images myself. I have a little Canon printer. It's an all-in-one. It can scan, it can print, it can copy. And it's a Canon. And the nice thing about Canon is that they, with the ink that you purchase, will give you a stack of 4x6. I think it's 4x6. Yeah, 4x6 printing paper or photo paper. And I did a lot with those little 4x6 photo papers. And it was great because I had always printed out photographs with a regular printer on regular paper, and it looked like garbage. It did what it was supposed to do, but it was not up to the level that you would say was worthy of being put on a wall. And so growing up with printers that would print and it would look like garbage, when I first got this printer, I didn't think anything of it. I just kind of saved those 4x6 pages or photo papers and left them on the desk. And then one day I said, you know what? I should actually give this a try. And I was pleasantly surprised because I think we paid $99 for this printer or less. And I was shocked because the quality of these images were, to me, amazing. I hadn't, you know, I didn't realize what these little printers could do. And so I got on a little kick. I started printing out all these favorite images that I had captured. And eventually I ordered some 8.5x11 sheets of photo paper. And I started to populate the wall in the living room with these images. Images that I took with my Canon 30D. There were some images from my iPhone. And you know, people don't go, oh, wow, that's an amazing image because it was done by X, Y, or Z. They look and go, oh, that's a great image because of the content and you know, the final look of it. And then when I tell them that I did this one with my iPhone, they're like, what? No way. That's not really. And I say, yeah, I took it with my iPhone and I printed it here in my house. And so it has given us sort of a way to bring printing back into the home again. So my main source of printing is here with this little Canon printer. And I haven't really printed through a service other than like Walmart. And some people are like, oh, why would you use Walmart? Well, sometimes it's actually pretty good.
No.
Well, okay. It's pretty good if you want something cheap and fast. But it not like wall prints. But so that is mainly what I use. What do you use?
Okay. Well, I run the gamut as far as printing services go. Geez, I do all kinds of stuff. So a lot of times I'll use the camera store that's in my town. And yeah, camera stores still exist.
Yep.
There's like a handful left, and I'm lucky enough that we do have one in our town, and they're really easy to work with. You know, they have computer stations set up, and they have, you know, a lightning to USB cord, and you could just go and you could plug your phone in or whatever and just select pictures off your phone to print. You know, and then there's a variety of other ways that you could get your files to them, you know, on a USB stick or whatever you want to do. But a lot of times I'll just go in with my phone and, you know, just pick pictures and upload them to their computer or whatever, and it's really, really simple. And, you know, I have that like little feel good moment of, you know, I'm supporting the local business, you know, even though they're a little bit more expensive than some of the other options I have. You know, they're local and fairly fast turnaround. Yeah. So, you know, I like going to the camera store. Conversely, if I'm going to get like a lot of prints made, like basically like every 3 or 4 months or so, I will print like just a boatload of pictures and kind of pass them out to like my parents and my wife's parents. And, you know, we'll keep some for ourselves. And then I might send like a bunch of pictures to my Nana who lives down in Florida.
Yeah.
So I use an app called FreePrints. And I really like it. It, you know, the prints always look good. And basically you get like a whole bunch of free 4x6s every month. So I take advantage of that.
Nice.
And I usually buy, you know, a bunch of 5x7s and stuff like that. So I end up spending some money with them. But I mean, I get a bulk of the pictures that I order for free. So that's, you know, that's pretty nice.
And you said you pay for the shipping?
Or? I think so, yeah. I think there's like a – it's not much. It's really pretty cheap. You know, I'll get, geez, you know, 100 prints or something and pay, I don't even know, $5. $10 okay. Maybe. You know, probably not even that much. I don't know. It's pretty cheap.
Yeah.
But, you know, the pictures always look pretty good. I don't have one in handy in front of me here to like tell you what kind of paper they're printed on, but they're not bad. Thought I had some here anyway. So I do that, and then I also use, they have a sister app called Photobooks.
Yeah,
and I use that every, you know, few months as well to get some photo books made. And the cool thing about that app, and I honestly don't know why I don't take advantage of this, but You can get a photo book for free through that app every month, like one photo book.
Oh, cool.
So you could get basically a free 5x7 like soft cover book, and I forget like how many pictures you could put in. It's like 20 or something like that. But you know, that's a pretty good deal. You do have to pay like a shipping charge, but it's just like a couple bucks or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, so getting a photo book for free is pretty sweet. And then, you know, with that app, I will take advantage of the free book, but then I'll usually get like one or two like nicer ones, you know, that I have to pay for, like with a hard cover and usually like a bigger size or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's cool because, you know, they got a bunch of templates and you could kind of customize the look of the book. And I didn't mean to sound like Dr. Seuss there, but but yeah, it's not bad. It's a pretty good app as well.
I have to interrupt you real quick. It's nice you're going through this, and then Bill Counts is over here fact checking you as you're going along, and so far you're pretty spot on.
I do see that, yeah. I appreciate that, Bill. He's like a co-producer here. I like and then I'll also use like MPix from time to time if I'm getting like a bigger print made. I'm spacing on who I use, but there's another company I like that does metal prints. Where it's printed actually on metal. Oh goodness, now I forget who there's a whole bunch of places that do it, but there's one in particular that I like, and now I'm spacing on it. But in any case, from time to time I will get a metal print. They're kind of expensive, so I don't do it very often, but
you said MPix was, how do you spell that?
The letter M, P-I-X.
Ah, got it.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, it's a Bay Photo. Why could I not think of that?
Gosh.
Bay Photo is
over
the
in
one
California?
That I use for the metal prints.
I think, isn't Bay Photo like in Santa Cruz?
You got me, man. I don't know. Okay. In any case, their metal prints are just absolutely epic. Like I have one hanging in my office, and it just looks so freaking sweet.
Yeah.
But I mean, when you're getting prints made, like, do you do anything special like to your photos to like prep them for print?
Yes.
Like I'm asking because, you know, when you think about printing, like, you know, if you're shooting with your DSLR and you're putting all your pictures on your computer, and you know, you hear about calibrating your monitor and using printer profiles and all that fun stuff so that your prints match what you see on the screen and vice versa. Do you feel like you need to do anything special with your photos before you send them off somewhere to get them printed?
Yes. What I do is sort of like what you used to do in the film days is I do a proof sheet. And with a Windows machine, you can actually open up the file with all the images in it, and you'll see the thumbnails. You can actually print the thumbnails as a proof sheet and look to see, is this one too dark? Is this one too light? And what I'll do is I'll take that proof sheet and circle the ones that I like that I think are complete or finished. And then the other ones I'll write, I say, okay, this one needs to be darker. I need to make this one a little bit lighter because, you know, one proof sheet, an 8.5 by 11 is a lot easier than doing like three or four of them because you're using up a lot of ink. And that also helps me if I'm going to send it out, you know, because I really don't know how, you know, how it works when you send your pictures to be printed, if they maybe have some, if they have something that would sort of self, I guess, equalize the exposure. Or if they just print them as they are. So I try to make it as close to what I want to see it as possible. And so what I'll end up doing is two proof sheets. The first one, I'll make all my changes. And then the second one will pretty much be the final results so that I know what my images are going to look like when I get them back. Do you do anything different?
Yeah, I literally don't do any of the stuff you just said. So like I've always found that, like basically with all the services that I've mentioned, the photos look close enough to the way they looked on my phone.
Okay. Very cool.
Without really having to do like anything special. Like, when I would get prints made, like from my computer.
Yeah.
You know, and, like I use Apple's Aperture program for like photo editing and cataloging and all that fun stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, I have different like profiles that are loaded in, so that, they're not really printer profiles. It's really more for the screen, I guess, than anything. Okay. I don't know how to explain it, but in any case, I always found that my pictures would be too dark.
Yes.
Like if I would just send them out to get them printed. So I would have to like basically figure out how to compensate for that.
Yes.
And way, way back in the day, like we're talking, oh my goodness, we're talking like almost 10 years ago. I used to use Costco for my prints.
Yes.
And they actually print really, really well, or at least they did at the time. They had, you know, some pretty high quality printers, and they used like this really good like Fuji archival photo paper. And in any case, you could basically go to like their website and download the printer profile to yes. your computer so that, you know, you could use that to kind of like proof your pictures, you know, to get them ready to print at Costco. So I used to do that and I never really had any issues. Everything looked pretty good. And then as time went on, I kind of moved away from Costco and I found like I want to say mom and pop, but it was literally like a daughter and pop printing operation that was in upstate New York, and they were fantastic, and they still are, but they didn't have like profiles they could send me, so I kind of had to guess with what I was doing, and I would send the files off. The nice thing was if I really was too dark or too bright or something, they would like email me and tell me.
Oh, good.
You know, instead of just sending me a print that looked terrible, yeah. you know, they'd be like, hey, that file you sent, it's a little dark.
Yeah.
You know, and they would let me know so that I could fix it and then resend it to them and they would reprint it, which was really cool.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. Let me explain real quick why this is an issue. When you have your phone, a lot of people either have their phone really, really bright or really, really dark or maybe in between. The screen on your phone or the screen on your computer is not a true representation of what your image is going to look like when it's printed. Because too bright of a screen, when you adjust your image to look correctly is actually darker. It's opposite of what your image is going to be on paper. And if your screen's too dark, your image will be too bright. And so this is why we talk about, kind of checking before you send it off, or like Matt said, they'll call you and say it's too dark, is because our screens are not a true representation of what a regular white piece of paper or white piece of photo paper is going to look like when it's been printed on. And so, you know, there are some adjustments. There are, you know, not only color adjustments, but then there's exposure adjustments. And so the test prints are good to be able to do so that you know which images are too bright or which ones are too dark. And then you can adjust it, because sometimes you adjust it and you go, man, that doesn't look right. But then when you print it out, you're like, man, that looks perfect. So
I think we all just need to learn to print like Peter Lick.
What is he?
Have you ever been to a Peter Lick gallery?
No, but he does huge prints, right?
Yeah, but you got to go and like see his prints like in person. And I'm pretty sure that, you know, he has people that print for him. He probably isn't making his own prints, but I'm sure he's involved in the, you know, in the process. But if you walk in a gallery and look at his prints, you will swear up and down that they're backlit.
Oh, yeah.
But they're not. It's just the way that they're printed, and then the way that they're lit in the gallery, yeah, you know, with the overhead lights, yeah, and everything, but they literally look backlit and it just knocks your socks off.
Yeah. It is an art. And when you first start printing, you're going to look at it and go, oh, this looks like garbage. And, you know, it's like, why does this look this way? And you can get discouraged. But if you take the time to experiment, to research, to try different things, you'll be amazed on what you can do, either printing at home or sending it off to be printed by a service. And, you know, I think as photographers, as people who are capturing moments, who are using art through the medium of photography, we need to be printing. And, you know, it has to be something that we're familiar with, something that we it becomes second nature. So, because that is the true representation of photography, is the print. And not to say that digital formats are, any less equal, but for the most part, a photograph was meant to be touched pretty much. It was meant to be able to hold and look at. That was the magic of an image, of a photograph, because you took a slight moment in time and stopped it and put it on a piece of paper, and it became, art. It became history. It's some of the things that people talk about, you know, when they go somewhere, when they move, or if their house is burning down, what's the first thing you grab? Oh, grab the photos. You know, because there's a lot of memories wrapped up in these images. And, so I think this is a very, very important part of photography.
Yeah, it definitely is. Which is why we all need to do more of it.
Yeah. All right. Is there anything else that you wanted to bring up about printing?
No. Just do it.
Yep. Just do it. One of the things I'll say is we want to see what you guys are printing. So on Facebook, if you guys have prints – you know, take a photo of your prints, you know, because, you know, they could be up on a wall, they could be on a table. I think it would help the group to start printing when they see others doing it. And it's an encouragement. It's like, oh man, that person's doing it. I want to give it a try. And like I said, you know, I have a very inexpensive printer here just a few feet away from me, and we use it for everything. We get ink all the time. We use this thing like crazy. So I would, you know, suggest looking into possibly getting your own printer and trying it. But not only that, try the things that Matt said. You know, I'm definitely going to try the free prints. I'm actually going to download the app and start uploading images to it and get some free images, free prints in the mail. So I'm not opposed to going outside and doing it, but also there is a very satisfying feeling when you can print something off in your own home and then put it up on your wall. So I highly recommend it. All right. Let's go ahead and let's move into our post pick of the week. All right. Matt, I believe it is your turn.
All righty. We got a lot to say today regarding post pick of the week. But first, I just want to say that we currently have a challenge going, and the theme is before and after.
Yep.
And we're going to continue that challenge for the next week,
yeah,
for another week. All right, and I will explain why in a little bit.
All right.
But in the meantime, as Joe likes to say, I went to the well, which is our Tiny Shutter hashtag on Instagram, to find a photo to feature. And it didn't take me very long to come across Nadine Funk. It's a name you guys probably recognize from our Facebook group. She goes by Details of Berlin on Instagram, but in any case, it's her most recent picture, and it is just this epically cool staircase. It's a spiral staircase. It looks like she's down at the bottom, shooting up at it, and it's just a really cool spirally zigzag design, and pretty minimalist colors. It's basically just like white, black, and blue, and it just looks really, really, really cool. It's really like more of like a graphic than a photograph almost. But it's not unique, right?
Yeah.
I mean, lots of people have taken pictures like this, but this one, I think it's really like the colors and that kind of zigzag design. It just like really grabs you and makes you stare at it for a while. I really like the picture a lot.
Yeah, there's a lot to the image because you have leading lines. You have lines that are, opposites between straight lines and zigzags and curves. The colors are very complementary, and it looks like there's the sun is at the end of the spiral staircase, and so it gives that kind of like a magical touch to it. I really like the image, and I think it's definitely worthy of a post pick of the week.
Yeah, without a doubt.
All right.
So, as I mentioned earlier, we're going to continue the challenge, the current challenge, for another week, the before and after. And basically the idea with that challenge is to Show like your original image. So like basically a picture that you took like straight out of the, you know, the iPhone camera or smartphone camera, and then to post an after picture of like however you edited the photo, whatever the final result is. And then, you know, maybe just say a little bit about like what you did to, you know, get it to that final result.
Yes.
So now on to the nitty gritty here. So the reason that we're doing this, that we're extending this, is because it was nicely pointed out to us in the Facebook group that we're not giving you guys enough time to participate in the challenges. You know, technically it's a week long challenge, and we usually post the new challenge on Thursday night, but not everybody is on Facebook. So some of you don't hear about the new challenge until we publish the podcast, which is, you know, usually a couple days later on Saturday or Sunday. And so, you know, you guys are at a disadvantage and losing a couple days. So what Joe and I decided that we're going to do is every weekly challenge is now going to be like a 2-week challenge. So on the weeks in between, we will pick a post pick of the week from the Tiny Shutter hashtag on Instagram. So that way we give a little bit more attention to, you know, the hashtag. And, you know, in looking through it recently, there's so many pictures that I wish I could feature like right now. But we will get to them. And then, you know, this just gives us more opportunity to do that. And then it also gives you guys more time to participate in the weekly challenge. So, you know, this week we picked a winner from the hashtag on Instagram. Next week, the current challenge will end. We will pick a winner for that challenge, and then we'll announce the new challenge.
Yes. Huh. Yep. Yeah, so, I agree. Yeah, it was so Fred Zelders had said, hey, you know, I haven't heard the episode yet. Yet, you know, we're still like, we only have 5 days left to do it. And he's right. And the whole reason why we did it was because we were waiting until the episode came out to kind of announce it, which still left us with like 5 days to actually do the challenge. So, I think this gives an equal, it gives the Facebook weekly photo challenge group and the Instagram users an equal chance to actually become post pick of the week. And I'm looking forward to doing every other week and picking from the well.
Yeah. I'm pretty happy we were able to work this out. I think that this will be satisfactory to everybody. I hope so. We do try to accommodate everyone here. So, yeah, this gives us a little bit more opportunity to share like more pictures and to recognize more people and to give everybody more time to participate in the challenges. Cause, you know, I know how it is. Like I don't have time a lot of weeks to participate. So, you know, everyone's busy and, you know, we don't want this to feel like a chore. It's supposed to be fun.
Yep. And, you know, if you guys have any suggestions, you know, we listen to what everybody has to say. Sometimes we say, yeah, that's great, but it won't be able to work out. Or other times we say, yeah, absolutely. We're going to go ahead and make those changes. So, you know, if you think of something that may be a little bit better than what we're doing, let us know. And we want to hear your feedback, and we encourage it. Now, if you were like somebody that just popped into the chat room, we'll ban you. But we don't ban a whole lot of people. But so All right. Well, let me say this. Nadine, congratulations for being our post pick of the week. If you want to be post pick of the week, you can not only add images to our Instagram feed by using the hashtag Tiny Shutter, you can also go onto Facebook and participate in our weekly photo challenges. And you'll find those pinned to the top of our group. And look through and see what everybody is doing. You know, it's a great place to see all the different things people will come up with, and it'll challenge you. And you know, don't be shy. I know sometimes it's hard to participate because, as photographers, as people who are creating art, who are just stepping into this arena, it's intimidating, and it's hard because, you know, we're our own worst critics when it comes to our photography. And so we have a fear that people will, you know, look at our image and go, why'd you post that? When in reality, people are very encouraging. We have a lot of people that will come in and post stuff, and you know, you get a lot of good feedback. And you know, if you want a critical eye, you can ask that too. But this is a very safe place to be able to do that, and we highly encourage it, because I think we have close to 700 people in our Facebook group, and we have. We have a lot of room for more people, so participate. It's a lot of fun. All right, Matt, is there anything else that you wanted to bring up?
No, I think we covered everything.
Excellent. Well, let me play this.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
All right, Matt, why don't you tell everybody where they can find you?
All right, you can check me out on Instagram, I am, and Twitter at M Hoffman Photo.
Awesome. You can find me on Instagram at Joseph Ferreira. You can find the show links in our show notes, links to the Facebook group and to YouTube by going to tinyshutter.com. And yeah, Dave says there's 692 people in our group. That is awesome. Come join us and have a lot of fun. All right. I think we have ourselves a show. So, Matt, good show, man.
You too.
And I'll say this. I look forward to seeing people printing their images. I need to force myself to do it. And forced in a good way. Plus, my wife wants me to do some more printing. But step out of your comfort zone and try something different, and do something you haven't done in a while. I highly encourage it. That's why we're here, to have fun and learn and be able to do things like this. So, all right, Matt, why don't you say goodbye to everybody?
All right, everybody. Bye bye.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, head over to iTunes and leave us a review and a 5-star rating. See you next week.
Everything's perfectly all right now. We're fine. We're all fine here now. Thank you. How are you?
Kowalski, what's our trajectory?
95% certain this will end in massive, flaming disaster.
And the other 5%?
Irrelevant, sir.
Remember, it's better to tell the truth.
And that's no lie. Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle. G-I-A.